I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Tales from the Galley, Stories of the Working Waterfront is the latest book from BC author Doreen Armitage. It is a captivating look at the folks who work British Columbia's coast, from coast pilots, coast guard skippers, deep sea drillers, commercial fishermen, divers, and tugboaters. Armitage weaves their reminiscences with telling photos in an entertaining and interesting book that's hard to put down. The stories are sometimes heartrending, sometimes unbelievable, but a view onto the people and the places along the coast. Doreen Armitage has spent a lot of time boating on BC's waterways. Her articles have been published in countless publications, and her previous books include From the Wheelhouse, Around the Sound, and Burrard Inlet. The latest, Tales from the Galley, is from Harbor Publishing and retails for $39.99. It is an evocative and enlightening book. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program Doreen Armitage. Good morning, Ms. Armitage.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. You are a retired school teacher, are you not?
That's true, yes.
Had you worked on boats or on the coast at all?
I hadn't worked, but we had a boat, and we traveled up and down the coast on our boat. But, you know, I grew up in Toronto, and believe it or not, but we lived right near the shore of Lake Ontario, and I've spent so much time at the water. So I think that's where I got my fascination for the sea. But we've lived here long enough now that I'm a real fan of the sea.
And how often do you go out onto the sea?
Well, we don't have our seagoing boat anymore. But we used to go out as often as we could, sometimes a couple of times a week, just to go out fishing at the Spanish Banks, or holidays up the coast. We were up as far as Stewart Island and the Octopus Islands. But nowadays, we have a property on a lake, and so our boating is done on a big lake.
In terms of BC's coast, in terms of the geography of it, the islands and the formation of the islands, the rocks and so on, is it an easy thing to navigate? Are our waters easy to navigate?
I would say no, because you have to be extremely careful of underwater rocks, and especially if you're out in along the coastline. The first thing my husband and I did after we bought our boat way back was to take a power squadron course, both of us did, and that made us more nervous of the sea than we had been before. But you really should know what's underneath the water. And of course, always there's the deadheads, the logs that have escaped from a boom or something like that. And of course, the weather, certain areas, the weather is horrendous.
There's a neat story in the book about a bunch of logs that got loose. But people should pick up the book for that story, I should say. How did you come about to writing about the coast? Was it just this love that you had for it? And when did that begin for you, your writing career?
Well, as a matter of fact, when I was teaching, I had to go on sick leave. I have a chronic health condition, which doesn't stop me from writing. And my friend was writing a book, and I was climbing the walls because I didn't know what to do with myself, and she suggested that I should write a book because I'd written magazine articles before. And of course, my response was, I couldn't do that. So my first book, Around the Sound, was as a result of my friend coaxing me to start writing, and I just enjoyed it so much, and I could work in all my interest in the sea, and so each of my books has something to do with the sea.
And it must be fun for you because you get to go and look at these photos. You get these from some of the people you talk to, but you also go to archives and so on, right?
Yes. Well, what I do when I'm interviewing people is ask them if they have any photographs I could borrow for the book. And many times they do. And, of course, you probably noticed in Tales from the Galley, there's a whole series of photographs that a Coast Guard skipper had taken with illegal immigrants who had been dumped off on the Queen Charlotte Island, and they had to go in and rescue them. And these were actual photos that the skipper loaned me, so they get some really great photographs that you don't see anywhere else.
must find it fun to see their work in the bound in the pages of your book.
Oh, they. I just got a couple of emails from a couple of the skippers just last week. One of them said, "I've already ordered a dozen copies." So that sort of tells you something, doesn't it?
It does. And Harbor has done a remarkable job in putting this book together, have they not?
Oh, definitely. A very high quality, yes. The photos are clear, well-placed, and the print is really good. Paper, nice shiny paper.
Do you find that people outside of British Columbia read your books, enjoy your books as well?
You know, actually, I have, yes. And because just because you live in Toronto doesn't mean to say that you're not fascinated with the sea, et cetera. And I have some friends that's in the East who particularly ordered my books there. They really wanted to read them.
These stories that you got from some of these people that work on the coast there, they're fascinating, and I sort of wonder why we haven't had more of these sorts of oral histories.
You know, I wonder the same thing. It was just fortunate that I had worked in several oral histories in my first two books, but when I wanted to write about tugboats, I thought, well, I don't really know very much about them except I really love watching them. So I thought, well, the only thing to do is ask the guys that are in charge of them, which is how I started. And then when I was talking to some of them, you know, when they were telling them, I don't know how they handled their job out there, I said, well, that's my job, that's what I do. But then one of them said, you know, Doreen, people really don't know what goes on out there. Aha, my theme for my next book. So I just really enjoy interviewing these fellows, and they've all been fellows.
Why do you think that is? Is it just women don't want to work on the sea, or they just can't? Or
no, they can, and there are actually a very limited number of women, and I would have interviewed one of those, but I never crossed their paths, and so they do exist, and it's just, I guess it's a kind of job a woman usually doesn't think about taking. There is some heavy stuff going on, especially when they're dealing with log booms and the heavy lines and so forth.
In terms of the number of people working the coast, has that dwindled in recent years, or has it stayed relatively the same?
Well, you know, you're taking into a large number of occupations. I can say, for instance, BC Coast Pilots, there are more of them now. And of course there have to be because of increased shipping coming in. As far as tugboaters are concerned, I would say there are more because there are more tugs. So I would, in my inexperienced way, I would say probably there are more men there now.
Mm-hmm. And when they tell you that I mean, it's easy to get astonished by the sort of work that they do, but when they say it's just their job, are they compensated well?
I really don't know. I'm sorry, I can't tell you that.
But they do enjoy the work, right?
Oh, yes. You know, one of the fellows that just saw my book, this book, that was in it, actually, he said, you know, Doreen, when I read this, I wonder why on earth do we do that kind of thing, except that it's exciting. So, and he just said that to me over the weekend on his email.
And there's the last chapter in the book deals with deep sea drilling, and that was for oil, was it?
It was for oil or gas.
And that platform was built where?
In Victoria, at the Victoria Machinery Depot. And it was built in the early 1960s. It cost $10 million to build.
And was that just explicitly for oil, or was it just for exploration?
It was specifically to drill for oil and gas. There had been exploration by geologists earlier on along the different coasts of British Columbia, and there were what they call quite a few gas seeps, and thought as by the amount of them that, yes, it would be very worthwhile to drill. And they did, but unfortunately, they never found a good enough source of gas or oil to set up an undersea mine.
And so they took down that platform, I guess, in the late 60s, correct?
They, 1969, after drilling for 2 years, they moved it to, it was moved by the company that owned it to another location.
A lot of
I believe it went to New Zealand. I can't remember.
A lot of those people that worked on that project, were they from here or were they from outside? Were they
from
the east?
They were mostly from outside. If you can imagine, the drillers in particular, of course, had been drilling for oil in the interior and in the prairies. And for a lot of them, being on that kind of a craft or even any boat was something very new. And you can imagine when they got into 80-foot, 90-foot waves, the change of lifestyle it was for them. The geologists, the ones that I know of, had been all over the world and doing surveys. And he was, I guess, had been on boats before, but he said a lot of the fellows were farm lads that came into the drilling.
There's a part of the book there where you discuss lighthouses, and that's something that the people like myself who live in the lower mainland, the Metro Vancouver, whatever you're supposed to call it now,
yep.
Away from the sea, don't think about. There was a lot of talk in the 90s about the shutting down lighthouses and so on. They still maintain a purpose, don't they?
Yes, I think it was mainly in the 90s they were talking about eliminating the lightkeepers, and they have done that. For instance, at Point Atkinson, there's no longer a lightkeeper, but they have the light there. And the reasons that the lightkeepers had for wanting to stay was that they make so many saves from people in overturned boats or whatever. But there are still a few lightkeepers around the coast, but most of the lighthouses are unmanned, and they're serviced by the Coast Guard.
Is the coast changing at all? Did you find that we seem to be hearing a lot about the environment and concerns of the environment, that people on the coast are paying attention to that?
Oh, very definitely. Oh, yes. Yes, as far as the coast changing, I don't see much difference on it, because the rocks are there, and the rocks were there, and the rocks are going to be there unless someone comes in and physically blasts them, you know. So I think there's probably more people living up on the coast, like some people just living on an island or in an isolated area, because a lot of people want to do that and get away from the cities.
How long did it take you to write the book, Doreen?
It took altogether 3 years. From the time that I started doing all the interviews, typing up the tape, and getting everything ready to take to harbor, it was about 3 years, which is what I found it usually takes me for a book.
And then it must be fun traveling the coast and talking.
Oh, yes. It really is. My husband and I go together, and he drives me, and then I sit and interview the people. And I would go everywhere, you know, but I always know where I'm going, who I'm going to talk to. We don't just travel around and look and see if we can find someone. It's very enjoyable. And, you know, the men that I've interviewed are so friendly and willing to talk. And some of them have become my good friends, and just keep in touch.
Are you working on another book now?
Not just at the moment. I'm working on developing my slide presentation for this book right now, because soon I'll be going up the east coast of Vancouver Island on a book promotion tour, and the marketing person at Harbor Publishing is arranging all the details right now.
That must be fun to talk about your work, especially work that you love doing, to
yes,
people.
It is. It's for someone who, like yourself, asking me questions about it, I love to be able to share what I've found out because I've learned so much. I think that's one of the things I really love about researching and writing is how much I learn when I do that. And the great people I meet, too, that those two together.
And the reaction that you get from people, I mean, you talked about these people, the people that are in the book emailing you and so on. Book readers themselves, do they get in touch with you and tell you their own stories?
Sometimes that happens, especially when I'm out at a book signing or when I'm doing a side presentation, and people will come up and tell me, oh, you know, my dad was a tugboat skipper. I wish someone had done his stories because he's gone now. And in addition to that, six of the men that I have interviewed have since died. So, but their stories are there, and their families are really happy to have that.
Doreen, I appreciate you coming on today and telling us about this book. This is really a fascinating book and wonderful work that you do, and I thank you for coming on and congratulate you on the book and continued good luck with it.
Thank you very much, Joe, and it's really been a pleasure for me to talk with you.
The same for myself. Doreen Armitage is the author of Tales from the Galley, Stories of the Working Waterfront, $39.95 from Harbor Publishing. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Planta.